Barnaby is the premier podcast spotlighting people of color. Every week, we talk news, what we've been playing, and tell you who's invited to the cookout. Our show is all about talking about gaming through a prism of blackness because we are the culture. Welcome to Bukkake, y'all.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is the Spawn on Me Podcast, episode 510 of the Spawn on Me Podcast with Khalif Adams. I'm your host, Khalif Adams. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're having a fantastic week. You had a dope beginning to your March. It is now in the third month of 2024. We're making it happen, getting it in, and having lots of great conversations here on our feeds. First of all, I wanted to thank everybody for checking out the Spawnies. The Spawnies 3 was a huge success on Twitch. We had over 300,000 views plus now accumulated across all three Spawnies events. We've now reached a million plus views for our amazing award show that we were trying to do to kind of combine that essence of hip hop culture and video games in the ways that we can only do here on Spawn on Me and on Twitch. Wonderful friends over at IGN gave us some numbers. We also got another like 12,000 or so views from them, plus our friends from Elgato and all of our sponsors came through in the biggest ways to make sure that we were doing some dope stuff moving forward. So massive love to everybody who checked out the Spawnies. The VODs are up on YouTube right now. So go to our page, youtube.com/spawnonme, and you can check out the VOD. It's a different cut of the show too. We got the Criterion cut on YouTube this week. So massive love to everybody for checking out the show. The energy was high. The energy was great. Everybody came through and it was such a success that I wanted to give everybody some love over there. If you're watching the show live right now on Twitch, please go check out the show on Spotify. That's where you can check out most of our video cuts of our episodes. That's where all of those wind up going. So please go check that out. There are three new episodes up right now from interviews that I did at DICE this year that were really, really dope. We had Susanna Pollock, president of Games for Change, Dan Hevia, who works over the biz dev and influencer side over at Evolve Talent, and we have Mark Delatte, who works over at Mattel, who was talking about how the digital future of Mattel is moving in a really fun and interesting way. So lots of great content. And on Monday, we have a dope conversation happening, and it's going to be a singular piece of an episode. I was going to throw it in this episode, but I'm going to be talking about Gamergate 2.0, and I don't want to cross-pollinate that conversation with the dope one that we had with Chase Bethea. Who is a fantastic composer in the space. So Chase's work has been found in so many different things, and Chase was kind enough to give some time for me to be able to talk about his work in the space over the past decade plus of being a composer in video games. There are very few black composers in video games. We got a chance to hang out with him. Long time coming for that conversation. You'll hear about that once you listen to the episode. But this week, We have one thing to get into. We're not going to get into a lot of different things this week because there is one prevailing story that has been happening in the gaming industry this week, and it is all around harassment. It is all around what we think of what we saw some years ago when it comes down to what we saw happen with Gamergate. And I think, you know, we got to talk about it because it's one of those things where once you see how it all is kind of played out and where things are kind of moving, you get a real good sense of how all of these movements continue to grow, how they continue to spark themselves, and why at the end of the day they continue to be full of shit. So we're gonna head into the news right about now. On the 411 this week, it's all about Gamergate 2.0 failing again, taking the fattest of L's as always, being exposed for the losers that they are, continuing to showcase why diversity, inclusion, and equity is important in the video game space, because we have grown-ass people who don't know how to read, don't know how to pay attention, and don't understand how the world works. It is fantastic. Clip that. Anyway, there's a lot of greatness that comes along with diversity and inclusion in the space. And I think what we've seen over the past couple of weeks, actually it's been a couple of months now that I look back at this and see where some of these conversations have started. So to roll back the clock a little bit, there has been this new online harassment campaign, which feels very, very much like Gamergate 2.0. So the reason why I call it that, so, you know, again, it doesn't have a full name. Folks aren't flying their banner and being like, we are Gamergate 2.0. We're coming for your diversity. We're coming for your ethics in journalism. We're coming for your ethics in diversity. None of those things are being said, but all of those things are being divulged and being kind of hinted at when we see what has happened over the past couple of months. So, to begin at the beginning, there is a user of Steam who made all of this fuss around a diversity and inclusion narrative consultancy company called Sweet Baby Inc. The first messages that I saw around this came from when everything had already kind of started. So I had seen some tweets about some members of that group basically asking Steam to pull that member group down. And I was like, what's happening here? I don't know what's going on. Why are these folks mad at these other folks for making a Steam group and asking them to take it down? I looked at the Steam group and saw that they had this name Steam Baby. Sweet Baby Detected to try to amass a list of all the games that this particular company had worked on from a narrative perspective, from a narrative consultancy perspective, from a diversity and inclusion perspective, in sensitivity readings, all of those things, a lot of those consultations in that mix. And it's been interesting to see where all of these things have landed, right? Because I am fully aware of what Gamergate 1 did. And everybody who was worth their salt knew that that was a harassment campaign that was full of misogyny and wasn't about ethics and journalism at all. And now we have this new thing that's popped up that, again, we saw some tweets from some of the folks in there asking for it to be pulled down. Then we also saw them pull some other tweets from people who worked at the company that were completely out of context, but had some language in it that were risque. It was stuff that you can tell if you've worked in the industry at all, knowing how people come for you. You look at that tweet and some of those tweets and say, well, one, most people, if you're not trying to lose your job or get ethered on the internet by the gaming industry in and of itself, you wouldn't tweet out stuff like this specifically and just let that be a singular thought, right? Like, there's one that was about aborting all Jews. Now, mind you, I don't know what the context for what that conversation was in the larger discussion that was happening within the flow of a tweet thread that happened in 2013 about what's happening, who's being talked about, what's the conversation there. Was something being kind of mimicked here? What were people using that language to talk about something that they had seen and all of those things? And there's no context for what that is, except if you go back and potentially go read those threads and see what that conversation was. But I do know that if you do have a moment like that, that people want to cherry pick and see that that's a thing while they already have an agenda at play, that's easy fodder for people to say, oh, that person's a racist, that person is anti-Semitic, that person, oh, they say they're for diversity and inclusion, but they're also anti-white, they're also anti-Semitic, they're also all of these things in these conversations. But knowing, again, how most of the folks in this industry, especially if you come from a marginalized community, don't have the ability to say a thing like that without any repercussions, because everybody in the gaming industry, especially if you work at a company or if you work in HR or if you work in community or you do any of that stuff, like this person has done over a bunch of their work over this time, there's no way in hell you'd be able to get a job in the video game industry if that was a thing you said and specifically meant it. There's no way. That's not the way the gaming industry works. That's not the way any industry that has a social media following or has people who are connected to social media working on their behalf would let that person work for them. They would be blackballed out of the industry instantly for most of the stuff that was potentially said in those conversations that were taken out of context and then given to the internet. Right? So that raised a flag for me to be like, all right, these are the folks who are saying that diversity and inclusion, we don't want it. We don't want to see it. We have a feeling that this company, Sweet Baby Inc., is forcing diversity and fucking up our gamer stories in all of the games that we play because they are doing diversity and inclusion consultations. Let's make a list of all the games that they've worked on so that we can do what? Right? Because that's the thing that comes back to this conversation for me, right? And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the other pieces that they keep throwing out that are supposed to be these gotcha things that are supposed to reveal how this company is a part of this diversity and inclusion cabal that is ruining video games for everyone because we, as people who don't want potentially woke content in our games, can't figure out how to be able to absorb and process other people's experiences that may not be our own and how that just touching games is a problem. So I believe that, look, I looked at the stuff that the people had shown because I had a long, like people have been in my ass all week for me saying, this seems kind of fishy. This doesn't make a lot of sense. Paris says in chat, Metroid is woken. We never realized until now. Oh my God, Samus is a woman. Oh shit. Take her out of games forever. But I try to look at things from a reasonable perspective and say, all right, let's go back in time and figure out where this started, because I don't think that the initial conversation that happened and the way it's been framed is proper. The way you have it, the folks who made the list talking about these are the games from Sweet Baby Inc., a guy named Ka Brutus on Steam. Let me make sure I'm getting it right. Yep, Ka Brutus. Right, made this list for reasons that when I ask people who are following this, who have joined this list, who have been in my mentions all week, and I ask them, hey, so what's the foundation for that list in the first place? Where is that coming from? Because when I look at the initial ask for them to take it down, I know that that person is from a marginalized group. I know that when you are from a marginalized group, again, you asking people to do a thing usually has a reasoning behind it. It doesn't happen for everybody. Some people are wild and do wild shit all the time. But for the most part, if you're going to put a spotlight on yourself to ask someone else to do something on your behalf that feels fishy or feels like it is targeting you, you don't do that without understanding that the internet is still going to come for you no matter what. Most of us don't want the internet coming for us because it's a lot of energy that you have to work through. You have to do all this stuff and you have to go through all these processes to make sure that you're safe, your family's safe, all these kinds of things that you have to do. So when it comes to calling something out like this, it is not done lightly. It is not done flippantly as this like, well, let me just fuck with this person on Steam so that they can get their content removed or this list removed or any of that stuff. So that didn't make a lot of sense. So in my mentions, a lot of people who have been getting at me talking about, there was a great Kotaku article by Alyssa Mercanti who kind of laid down the kind of the main case for what was happening here. They didn't like what that was and was like, Kotaku is doing bad work here. They omitted a lot of information here. They never went to Ka Brutus and asked for an interview from them, from him, who's a Brazilian guy who's Steam guy from this Brazilian dude. And they were like, they didn't go and ask him why he did this. No one went to ask him about him being harassed by this one employee of this company. So I was like, all right, cool. There has to be an order of operations here. There has to be a cause and effect here. Most people don't do that and magically just pop a thing up unless they have something that they are trying to figure out, something that they see that is problematic to them, something that they will look at and say, oh, wow, this feels like it is an affront to me as a human being. Now, again, most of the anti-woke sentiments that we wind up seeing, most of the anti-diversity, inclusion, DEI stuff, anti-diversity stuff we've seen is based on a lot of bigotry, racism, misogyny, sexism, all that kind of stuff. All of that work then has a space to bubble up. It gained ground when Osmond Gold looked at some of this stuff that was happening and reported on it shittily like he always does. He doesn't report on anything. He looks at stuff. He goes and makes an opinion that's not founded in any actual fact. It is literally just off the top of his head because you can tell there's no thought in it. And that, because he has a large follow and a large fan base, then bubbles up because he's doing that very, very, you know, the free market will, you know, you don't get to do anything because this is the free market. The free market will determine all of this stuff. And if you as a company don't want them to build a list and want them to take it down, then you are an idiot for doing that because the free market is supposed to move everything. It is very, very silly in the way that that works, because, again, that the way Osmond Gold thinks about the way the world works doesn't reflect any history. It doesn't reflect any of the ways that people think about the work. It damn sure doesn't include anybody who's doing the actual work. So he gets the armchair quarterback stupidity in a way that then inflates and incites other people to do dumb shit. So Osmond Gold, that's a whole other conversation, because that's trash. That's trash content that has now bubbled up a problematic thing, which he can then throw the hand grenade and leave, right? While other people have to pick up the pieces and deal with their actual repercussions. That's a whole other conversation. So Osmond Gold does the work, pushes that outside. That then becomes the zeitgeist for these groups of people. So I was like, all right, cool. Let's do the work. All these folks are telling me all this stuff. They keep sending me these interviews and all these clips from GDC stuff, all of these things. So I was like, all right, there has to be somebody who is who has interviewed this guy and has gotten his take on why he started this. I clipped out one part of an interview that he did most recently a couple of days ago. And I want you to read this. I'm going to read it, but I want you to read this alongside, if you're watching the video version. I'm going to read it for the folks on audio. And this is what we're dealing with here. This is the real reason why Sweet Baby Detected has gotten rolling. And this is the real reason why this is happening right now. And all these folks are dealing with all of this extra stupidity. Here's an interview that he just did over at Geeks and Gamers on March 7th. Alex Gerzo, who is the person who interviewed him, says, "What are your impressions of Sweet Baby Inc. and its role in game development? Is the Kotaku article accurate?" Ka Brutus says, "I don't think the article is accurate at all. First, it says that we are harassing Sweet Baby Inc., when in fact, it was SBI employee who tried to start a harassment campaign against me. Also, SBI forces political agendas and DEI into their games. It's pretty clear to everybody at this point, yet the article seems to try to say that they simply do not. That all this diversity stuff in games is actually natural," quotes, "and this couldn't be further from the truth." Alex then asks, "What made you take notice of Sweet Baby Inc.? Did it start with Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League?" So Sweet Baby Inc. on their webpage they have listed games they worked on. Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League was one of them. Cabruta says, actually, it was a few months before the release of Suicide Squad. I started noticing patterns in some games, like ugly women and male characters being weakened to make female ones look stronger. The first game the SBI worked on where I noticed this kind of stuff was God of War Ragnarok. I think anyone who's played God of War 3 would find it really weird that Kratos decides to spare Thor and says, we must be better. That simply doesn't fit the character. Let's go back a step. The reason he did this was because I started noticing patterns in games like ugly women and male characters being weakened to make female ones look stronger. We are dealing with idiots. We are dealing with the biggest level of arrested development I've seen in a long time. Now, mind you, the other part of that interview, again, if we're looking at the timeline here, the conversation started in January 29th of 2024. That was when this group got started on Steam. That's when that whole list started to be compiled and put together. A month later is when that employee said, hey, Steam, this seems to be kind of made in a nefarious reason. There seems to be an underlying agenda here about why you would want to see a grouping of games be listed to signify what? Like, what's the impetus here to signify these games are doing something that I don't like? And what was it that the person didn't like who started this? He didn't want to see ugly women and men and male characters portrayed to be weaker than women and women be stronger than them in the games that they play. This is the dumbest fuck shit I've seen in a long time. Again, I have no issue with people not wanting to play things that feel, you know, this doesn't align with my political agenda. We folks on the progressive side do this all the time. Everybody does this. Anybody who is discerning does this. You look at things, you're like, that thing I don't like. I don't even have a problem with them making a list saying, here are some things that we don't like, X, Y, Z. But you have to not front and say that this is not steeped and grown and cultivated in a space that is about harassment of people who love and appreciate diversity in games. People who are working in spaces to try to make the games that we play different, better, more inclusive, more realistic, and showcase how the world actually works with people in it. This is anti that. And that is at the foundation of all of this Sweet Baby Detected bullshit. So to not say that out loud is not telling the truth. All of these folks who are in this group, the guy who started this group talking about this is a harassment campaign against me. You started it. You could have kept your mouth shut from the beginning. No one who, even if you hated Suicide Squad, this doesn't affect you in any way at all. There's been so many fake correlations made in between this group being founded, the work that Sweet Baby does, which none of these people actually understand. None of them know. None of them actually understand it. None of them actually understand what that work does. They don't work in the industry. They just see a thing and are like, they start barking and being mad at shit that has nothing to do with them. Only because it's a thing that you might have to come, you have to brush up against diversity. So we have to make this list. this shadowy list that we don't even say what the actual agenda behind it is, which is this anti-diversity and inclusion, a difference between not seeing diversity and stuff in here. He says all of this diversity stuff in games is actually natural, which couldn't be further than the truth. What world do you live in? What homogenous Vault 76 fucked up life do you live in that this is the space that you think you are in? That you have a space in which no one else is supposed to make stories that reflect even a smidgen of the world that they live in, so that you can feel better about your world that is homogenous and not interesting and not fun and not cool. So all of these conversations that come along are based on garbage. The Osmond Gold interview, Osmond Gold take, stupid. This cat in the list, dumb. The people who are following it, fools and sheep who will follow anything because of this culture now of anti-wokeness and anti-diversity. We see it in movies, we see it in music, we've seen it in games, and it continues to be this ever-changing, ever-evolving, ever-flustering, ever-crying moment that we see where at the beginning of Gamergate, with all the folks who were in that conversation that called everybody with blue hair and everybody who was trans and everybody who was all of these parts of the diversity rainbow, snowflakes and cucks and needing to drink and smoke on some copium. I've never seen a group of human beings see a thing and be so mad that they are not included when they have been included since the beginning. These narratives have been here forever. Strong male conversations, all of these discussions, all of these things have been in all of these games forever. God of War 1, very different than God of War Ragnarok, because there's been evolution in that story, because there have been different people making those games who are smarter, who are more empathetic, who can understand the world around them, not only from a game and narrative perspective, but from a bottom line money-making perspective. The more people you bring into the funnel, the more people you put under the umbrella, the more games you can sell, you dummies. This is not smart. The other part of this that has been really interesting is I keep getting all these things thrown at me that are supposed to be these gotcha moments. One of the things that has been popped up about this has been Sweet Baby Inc. CEO and co-founder, or co-founder, and I think she's a CEO and co-founder of Sweet Baby Inc., Kim Belair, who I've known about for a long period of time. Like, when people talk about Kim Belair, it is always in glowing terms. It's always in like, oh shit, if you get a chance to work with Kim is dope. Kim is fantastic. Kim has been a part of this conversation as well in some of, again, the dumbest ways, because people who follow this stuff have no analytic skills, have no reading comprehension or listening skills. People who follow this stuff are not smart. And they continue to have a seat at the table. I'm fine with sharing a table with dumb people, but you got to let the dumb people talk last. Like, for real, you gotta let the dumb people like talk in very small hushed tones so that they don't let their dumbness kind of take over the full conversation. So there's this talk that Kim did at GDC some years ago, a couple years ago. It's called Now You See Me Representation. Now You See Me Representation as Innovation. And it's a fantastic, it's on YouTube, go check it out. It's on the GDC channel. You know, I had seen this snippet cross my feed a lot over the past 24 to 72 hours, and everyone focuses on this one piece of the story. Again, a part of a 29-minute panel discussion or lecture that they cherry-picked something out of the 25th minute to use as the cudgel that's supposed to be the thing that drives why diversity is bad in this video game industry. I'm going to play it for you. I'm going to play you from where they dropped off the clip. And then I'm going to play the rest of the part of the clip that I think matters. And then we'll have a discussion about why this is all stupid.
If you have a team lead, put that request to them very, very early. If you're a creative working in AAA, which I did for many, many years, put this stuff up to your higher-ups. And if they don't see the value in what you're asking for when you ask for consultants, when you ask for research, go have a coffee with your marketing team and just terrify them.
So I want to stop there for a moment, because this is where the clip ends in most of these conversations. At the line, terrify them. This is where it stops. This is where that part ends. It is at the terrify them part of the conversation. And all of these Gamergate 2.0 folks are like, oh my God, do you see how this black woman is telling all of these folks that she's potentially going to work with, and to other folks in the diversity space, that what you need to do to get your agenda across, which is this adding of fake diversity into the video game space, is to terrify white people. That's what they're trying to say. Terrify white people with your plan for diversity. I want to play the other part of this clip.
With the possibility of what's going to happen if they don't give you what you want. Because they have to consider, like, I say that all out as a joke, but it's actually very, very true, because if you start to consider the people who are player and audience facing and who have to deal with mitigating harm and with keeping the sentiment around their game and their project positive, there's like a genuine value that you can impress upon them with both ethically and financially. You can say this is important. And it's also a valid discussion to have, because if you're working with a very thin narrative budget and you work in AAA, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised or dismayed by the amount of money that marketing can give you.
So that is a longer part of that clip. I'm not going to play the full ending of the rest of that, because it's still another like 3 minutes left of that video. But as a person who has worked in games, as a person who actively has advocated for diversity budget, for more money to go towards folks doing this kind of consultancy work, for more money to be able to be put into the pot, so that when games get made and the audience receives it, that folks within multiple spaces don't look at that and say, hey, did anybody really vet this work? Did anybody look at this particular part of a conversation and say, hey, maybe you should have involved some folks who are from these backgrounds into the mix when making this character, when making this world, when making these things work together? Maybe there should be some people here who can help guide you to making those stories, those characters, and those worlds better, while also not leaving things on the table that everyone can enjoy, which is at the crux of Kim's conversation, which is a lot of the work that we wind up doing in the video game space is this, like, we don't want to do harm to the player, as opposed to saying, let's find ways to use diversity to add joy to games in a way that makes people understand that, yes, if you're thinking about the core demographic, which is still very, very white, how do we make something for everyone underneath that umbrella? So that even if you are one of those dudes who's like, yo, I don't believe in this shit, this is stupid, why are you gonna put a black girl in my game in medieval times? There's still stuff there for you to be able to enjoy while also making characters that are smartly written and are well done. There's a lot of those conversations. And again, I'm paraphrasing. If Kim was on the show, I'm sure she may have a fuller complement of ideas, because she's the person who did that talk. But the cherry picking of that thing is exactly what we see happen in so many different places when your purpose and your initiative and your motive is to fearmonger. When you're trying to fearmonger and add fear to things, the Negroes are coming for your jobs. All of these things are happening. Diversity is going to remove good stories from the video game space. Right now, if you would ask people, there's no great conversations in games, all of this stuff. Right? That is a fuller part of that conversation that if you paid any attention to the way diversity works, there is more here to discuss. But if you have decided that that one 16-second clip is the driver for your motivation to say diversity doesn't have a place in games, then you win. But people aren't smart and understand that, like, if you're really paying attention, you should be able to go find that, go look at the entire thing. And I'm sure people who will still look at that will still say, oh my God, this is even worse because she's a black woman who is talking about this stuff in this video game business and blah, 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 blah. How dare she say terrify them? And even terrify them in that context isn't about you scaring the C-suite into doing things for you. It is literally to save their asses. That work saves people's jobs. That work saves the people who are at the top tons of headaches of having to not have to then go back on social media, go back on social media and pull back all that messaging that you did, having to rewrite games at the last part of the production process. When you, again, as Kim says in the conversation, to pull people in towards the beginning of the process so that you can finalize and get all that stuff really into a good spot. So you deliver good characters to people. But none of these people who would have worked in this game space understand that because they're talking out of their assholes. This is stupid. And I feel bad for everybody that has to deal with this because there are so many good people doing that work. The other layer of this conversation that a lot of these people don't understand is that none of this is going away. If there was any one thing that they wanted us to do in Gamergate 1 was they wanted everyone to turtle. They wanted everyone to hide in the shadows. They wanted everyone to pack up their diversity bag and go home because they were scared and worried about it. If anything, after Gamergate, games have gotten more diverse. There are more people at GDC who look like me. There are more people who are going into video games who are of diverse cultures and underrepresented spaces. It backfired so hard on all of these Gamergate folks. All of these folks, it backfired so hard. They have no understanding. And they're trying to make these correlations again between these games having woke stories and sales being not good. Suicide Squad didn't sell well, so that game is bad. They even tried to say that there's a clip in Alan Wake 2 where Saga basically is talking about her experience in being talked down to by a white dude. And they have used that part now as being like, Alan Wake 2 is anti-white. I was like, okay, if that was the case, then they wouldn't have even mentioned that Saga is biracial. You idiots. She has a Scandinavian and black background, you dummies. This is not hard. This is not difficult. But when you have that mindset that you can't think your way out of a paper bag, and you have this mindset where you believe that everything needs to be catered to your small, insignificant worldview, that it doesn't matter what the actual context is. Context always matters. There is context for everything. If you're thinking about how to talk about conversations and things in its totality, you have to pull in context. And if you don't do that, you're doing the dumb shit that Osmond Gold does. It's the same shit. There's no context and it gets views because it's dumb. And because it doesn't make sense. And because for some reason, it butts up against their ability to think a little bit and to be, connected to something that is not next to them. Yeah, and the main protagonist is a white dude. In Alan Wake 2. So I just want to say in closing, we have to do a bit like the conversation around diversity and inclusion within the entire world has changed a lot. We see a lot of contrition with companies, with governments, with all of this pullback on what diversity, inclusion, and equity is. We know that a lot of this is based in racism. That's not me trying to be hyperbolic. That's not me trying to play a victim. That's what we see, because the real conversation around CRT and DEI is that all of those things are there basically to make sure that the record is straight. See, you know, critical race theory and all those conversations, those are not trying to infuse diversity conversations into a space. It is a clear-cut conversation about here are the things that historically have been wrong. Here are the ways that we talk about those things and try to rectify those conversations and make them more honest and more truthful and pull in people who have lived experiences to discuss these things while also teaching people who historically have not wanted to delve into it, to even see it, to even understand that those things happened. That's what all of this work is for. And if that touches your games, sorry, the world isn't like that. The world you grew up in, because a lot of the conversations here also from people tweeting at me have been like, games have always been diverse. Why are we trying to shoehorn all this stuff in? If games have always been diverse, then what the fuck are you complaining about? You should have been complaining 15 years ago. Like Barrow said, you should have been complaining when Samus's helmet came off. Dummies. If it's always been here, then what the fuck are you complaining about? There's nothing to complain about. This whole thing is a nothing burger. Again, it is just a space to harass people who don't look like you, who are from different lifestyles of yours, and for ones that you have determined are lesser than yours. That is the end of that story in the actual way. So I hope that when we have these conversations, that we're being really honest about them. I hope that when we discuss these things in the bigger, broader ways, we actually dig into what this is. Go back to that Cobb Brutus quote that I said. It's about ugly women and women being strong. We used to have beautiful women in our games, but now they're ugly. In whose light? Whose eyes? My Instagram is full of thirsty nonsense from CrossFit ladies. It is fantastic. It's great. It's amazing. Undulating thigh meat all over the place. It's fantastic. And they're strong and beautiful and amazing. It's great. But this shit is stupid. And we have to call it for what it is. It's fucking dumb. I'm cussing a lot this episode. I'm sorry. But I'm annoyed. Because we placate to a lot of folks who are in the space and trying to give them a space to be able to get their rocks off, when at the foundation, it's founded on nonsense. It's all founded on garbage. It's all founded on unrealistic, unattainable worlds that people want us to go back to that weren't good for anybody in the first place. They weren't good for anyone in the first place. So let's find time to talk about this stuff in real ways, put the context into the conversation in actual ways that really reflect what people actually said, their motivations for what you can find, because again, the internet is weird. You could probably find some weird clipped out thing that I said and be like, Kyle's racist. When I was talking about white supremacy, you could probably definitely take that and be like, Khalif is anti-white, which I'm not. People are like, oh, Khalif, you're racist. There's a difference between racism and bigotry. Anybody who with a brain understands that. I can be bigoted against a whole bunch of people. I don't have the power to be racist against a whole bunch of people because I don't have any power in that way. It's not the way power works for people who are from underrepresented and marginalized communities. Once we start taking over the world, then we can have that conversation. But that's not going to happen anytime soon. So I want to thank everybody for listening to the show this week. If you see these conversations around Gamergate pop up, you just got to stop. You got to just like look at that and be like, yo, y'all are stupid. Just say it out loud. Like, this is dumb. And I'm sure I'll catch hell off this. I don't care. But like, this is stupid. You have to be able to go back and be like, well, let's look at the timeline here and actually see where the moments happen. This wasn't started by Sweet Baby Inc. This is started by a dude in Brazil who doesn't like the way women look now in video games. Finn. End. Answer. And cut. All right, everybody. We're going to get about it here for this episode of Spawn on Me. Much love to you all. Please, please, please go check out all the new content that's on the feeds. This will be going up Monday alongside the Chase Bethea interview as well. We're going to separate those things out so that we don't cloud the streams in that way. But I do want to thank you all for rocking with me here on Spawn on Me Live, twitch.tv/SpawnOnMe. We did this on a Saturday because I'm going to go do some stuff this weekend, so I didn't have time to do it early in the week, and I've been playing some new stuff. I've been playing Rise of Ronin. I won't be able to get into the preview cycle because that's going to be happening next week, but you'll hear thoughts about Rise of Ronin and other games in that space very, very soon. So make sure you check out that stuff as well. Go play some Helldivers. Helldivers is freaking dope. WWE 2K24, freaking amazing and super, super dope. Go play those games because they're brilliant and dope and amazing. And we're going to get about it here for this episode of Spawn on Me. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. Make sure you share this episode loud and proud when it goes up on Monday. Clip out as many pieces as you can and share it because we got to stop all this misinformation going out into the world and people thinking that it's fact. So until then, much love to you all. See you all soon. Wash your hands, wash your butt. Much love. Peace.